Welcome to A Matter of the Mind. I'm your host, Mark Perry. And today we're going to explore what holistic means in a very personal way, in a life story kind of way, in a way that brings what's personal into a personal path and personal purpose and serving the world. And the work I've been doing with clients and students for a long time, one of the most universal themes that comes up is a sense of purpose or a sense of life purpose. When I'm working with people in addiction, that seems to be one of the most fundamental keys to getting free of addiction. It's quite frequent that people who are dealing with addiction are at some level dealing with a deep desire to get more connected with themselves in terms of what am I here for, how am I serving the world, what's a meaningful experience of me being here on purpose and living into that. And whenever I can assist someone in getting connected into that, it's amazing how any idea of addiction just falls away. And I know that isn't the most popular idea of addiction out there in the world. Often addiction is looked at as something that is that you're kind of stuck with throughout your life, that you can only manage. And the idea of really being free of that to where it is just as if it never happened in your life is a frequent occurrence in my work and in others who work in a similar way that I do. And that's just one example of how meaning and purpose fits into our lives. I think of it as a level of intelligence that's always guiding us from the moment that we're conceived and in the womb and born into the world, that there's this underlying essential intelligence that's guiding us. And we're kind of figuring it out along the way, what that guidance is meaning, even learning how to pay attention to it. And often it looks like trying stuff on as we're moving through life. Sometimes it can look like a very clear, consistent pattern for some people. Sometimes it can bounce all over the map and all over the world. Today, my guest has a very interesting story, and I'm hoping that it will both inspire you and also bring you connected to a particularly wonderful organization that's doing great work in serving orphans of the world. My guest today is Tess Yong. Tess is a holistic personal trainer. She's an interpretive dancer. She specializes in her interpretive dance and sacred sensual dance, and she's also an actress. She's formerly a bodybuilder as part of her personal training work, and she has a very interesting, eclectic life story. So, good morning, Tess. Welcome to A Matter of the Mind.
Aloha.
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 Which tells us one of the places that you've lived in your life.
Yeah, half of my life in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Yeah. Half of my life in Korea. So I call it, I am half Korean and half Polynesian. Because I observe a lot of Hawaiian culture last 20 years. And then now I'm here in New Mexico, Enchanted Land.
Nice. What part of Korea?
I grew up in a rural very country till I was 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
and is this what we think of as North Korea or South Korea?
Oh, I wish it was North Korea.
You wish it was.
Then I got to, you know, North Korea, my mother's from there, but I never got to see North Korea. South Korea, of course. And 8 years old, my mother moved me to suburb because the place I grew up is so far out there. There's no school.
Mm.
So I had to go to school, and my mother moved me closer to, you know, where the school and civilization is.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to school from 8 till 18 in this little suburb, 20 minutes away from train station. And then I walked to school, and, I grew up in suburb, very rural country and suburb.
Do you have any family in North Korea through your mom?
I think my mother has a distant relatives, but she never seen them.
Has she ever been back there since she left there?
No. She left when she was 5 years old. So she has a very vague memory of it, but she does remember. You know, she told me about stories where her parents pack everything, and then they have four children, carry one in the bag, you know, holding hands and carrying everything, and they had to escape at night.
Wow.
Because otherwise they couldn't. And then my mother's parents owned a lot of land, farmer.
Mm-hmm.
They abandoned their land, they abandoned everything there, and then they knew this was going to get worse, so they just escaped. And her brother, they kind of lost on the river, so he was drifting down to the river. They have to go get him, and she remembers these stories.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, she doesn't talk about it a lot, but that's one of the struggle story that she shared with me. Yeah. And they still have the paper of the land, thinking that one day they can go back
In North
and
Korea.
reclaim the land. Yeah, so I'm waiting.
That's an interesting waiting.
Yeah, so, you know, I was born and raised in Korea, but didn't live in Seoul, not a city girl. I very much grew up, you know, I don't know if you ever traveled Southeast Asia.
I have not.
You have not. You know, they're very poor. They don't have really a toilet, you know, you can flush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a little hole, then you just kind of squat on it.
Right.
And
right.
Without going to detailed stories early in the morning. So I grew up very humble, you know, humbly.
Yes.
And in a country. And then my mother brought me to Hawaii when I was 18. And then I thought, wow.
Yeah, I bet.
That was quite a change.
And where did you come to in Hawaii?
First, we were in Waikiki.
Mm-hmm.
First, Oahu, Honolulu. And then that Waikiki beach I only heard about. And, you know, that's where we landed for a while. And I went to university there, State University, UH Manoa. To get there, I had to go to community college to study my English for 4 years.
Because how was that? How was learning English from Korea? Because I've been told that English is a very difficult language to learn for Asian cultures.
I guess, you know, when I was in high school, I was quite academic in my junior years.
Mm-hmm.
So I got into Ivy League high school, girls' school. I went to girls' school from junior high and high, uniform, whole nine yards. You know? But in high school, I wasn't so academic. I was into theater. I was into a little bit more rebellious group of friends doing what people perceive as no good.
Uh-huh, so...
things. Because I was doing theater.
So you were already becoming a no-good actress.
Okay,
so when we come back, we're going to expand on that theme a little bit to see how did that end up coming into Holistic Trainer. You're listening to A Matter of the Mind, and we are streaming on SantaFe.com. We are back on A Matter of the Mind. I'm Mark Perry. I'm here with Tess Yong. And as we're moving along in our conversation, if you want to follow along on Tess's website, it's Tess Yong, TessYong.com. Is that correct? And I'd recommend it. It's multifaceted. It's wonderfully colorful. And as Tess is very multifaceted, I think we're going to do our best to cover a lot of ground in this, but I think we're not going to cover everything that there is, and you'll find a lot more information there. If you want to call into the show as we're progressing here, you're also welcome to join the conversation, ask a question. The number here at KTRC is 505-474-8255. Feel free to give us a call. So when we left off, we were talking about your...
no good.
Your rebellious, no good actress self that was coming forth out of high school.
Yeah.
Where did that lead you?
You know, I was quite confined. My father was very strict, and I have three sisters, so we have rules to follow.
Yeah.
And I went to very strict junior high school. In high school, we have so many rules we have to follow. I've been pretty good at following them, But I realized I wasn't as good as my sisters. I wasn't as good as following rules yeah. as my other friends.
Yeah.
And then for the first time in my life, when I was hanging out with this rebellious theater group, that what the school is teaching, what government is talking about, is one point of view. And there was another point of view of what is going on in our country. So these are college kids. I look up to them so much.
Mm-hmm.
They were very intelligent. And then they talk about a lot of politics and about life and theater. And I started listening to them. And they made sense a lot more than what teachers say in my high school. So I kind of started going geared towards them more.
Yeah.
And then start hanging out with them. And it was prohibited by school to do any kind of outside activities because we're focused so much in academic to go to Ivy League college.
Okay.
But at that point, I lost interest in academic pursuit. I realized that my life is about on stage and theater, expressing things that people cannot express or is experiencing other people's lives by taking a role. So I got fascinated with theater, and then with it, I learned a lot about other things that I never heard of. And then for the first time, there is not one way of life. There could be a different way of life. That's the first time I encountered and it gave me hope that, okay, I want a different kind of a life.
It's not just one way. There are many ways.
Yeah, and that was pretty shocking for me. Because I grew up so confined for so many years mm-hmm. to be that way. And it caused a lot of problem. And I didn't study school academic things, subjects since then. I focused on acting. And then when I turned 18, my mother brought me to America. So I didn't have a good English education.
Yeah.
So I had to go to ESL, English as second language,
yeah.
for almost 4 years, actually, to just get the language so that I can mm-hmm. pursue my education.
And this was in Hawaii.
Yeah, in Hawaii. Uh-huh. But when I came to Hawaii, all I thought about was how can I go back, be a stage actor, and express myself that way, express for other people who cannot express. Take roles mm. and express to the world. And so I study English so that I can study theater.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't turn out that way. You know, I ended up studying something else. But
And what was that?
Oh, you know, I studied theater, dance, and communication, social work, and I studied various subjects because I was somewhat lost when I came to America. Here I am, 18, turning 19 years old, with a new language, and Hawaii is not so much of America.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you've been
yes.
there, right?
Yeah, it's...
I come to America, I thought that I was coming to America, I imagined something so much different than what I was experiencing. So, I was very confused. I was disoriented with all these waters around me, and I felt suffocated, and where am I? And I thought I was coming to a better place with more sophistication, more worldly. However, I see all these tribal people, Hawaiian people are very different. Kids were dressed very slippers and short pants, where I come from. Uniform and very straight, confined.
Yeah.
So I had a culture shock and I had disappointment. And then I realized I have to get education, go back to Korea, become an actor. So that I was single-mind focused.
Mm-hmm.
But along the way of school subjects, I realized, my English is not sufficient enough to study theater. I couldn't do free acting classes. I failed. So I was very discouraged. I was depressed, and then I realized I have to make something out of my life. I cannot just come to America and waste it, my life. I look around, there are so many immigrants, you know, plantation workers, generations, there's so many immigrations so many Korean people there just working at the liquor store, having a little store and just barely speaking English. They've been there 40, 50 years. Mm-hmm. And I look around and I made a decision. That's not my life. I'm going to be educated. I'm going to make something of my life. I want to do something important. So it was very difficult because I lost my dream to become an actor, to study theater. And I wasn't sure what I was going to do. But meantime, the physical outlet, exercise, became my outlet. Because I was always athletic. I was a runner. Mm-hmm. I was cheerleader. I was always doing something physically. Mm-hmm. So when I was extremely stressed, working at the minimum wage, I remember $4.25 at the little Korean barbecue shop, liquor store. There's nothing that I haven't done. I got fired so many times because I didn't know how to give directions to customer. Uh-huh. Even with my smile, I couldn't get away with it. I got fired. Ice cream store, scooping ice cream. Probably 15 different jobs I did in college time to make money. So, because I don't come from an affluent family. Yeah. I come from a very humble background. So I have to really work and help my parents. As I was working and going to school, so much stress that I didn't know what to do with it. So I run and ride bicycle and then my sister gave a gym membership. She wanted to do, aerobic or dancing, and she's a little lazy. She likes to sleep too late. Unlike me, I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm up and go. We're very different that way. So, I went to the gym, and then, I like to dance, and I see this beautiful woman with this black long hair. I was able to relate to it because she had a black hair like me, mm-hmm. and she was muscular. I tell you, I have never seen a woman's body that is muscular. I was like 19 or 20 years old.
Yeah.
She just struck me. It's like, wow, I didn't know women can be that strong. That's how I want to be. So, that became my outlet, and which led me to bodybuilding career at 25 and 26. My body transformed because I was lifting weight almost every day, working out, dancing, and really investing a lot of time doing that because of the enormous of stress that I was dealing with and sense of kind of loss, uh-huh. purpose.
And so this gave you a channel for that.
Yes.
Channel not only in something about physical energy, but it sounds really about a sense of yourself, of your image of yourself. As you said, this strong, muscular, this outlet. And this is a reason as you're listening, you can check out her website because there are photos there of her from bodybuilding competitions and so forth, and give you a better sense of her in that. And that's TessYoung.com. So where did that lead you?
Yeah, so, I was doing kind of mediocre job for years just to pay school tuitions and help my parents. And then one day, owner of the gym looked at me. He said, I think you should teach personal training. He actually offered it to me. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'm not studying to be a personal trainer. Actually, at this point, my father told me I should study business.
Sure.
So, I'm a rebellious Korean girl, but I have to listen to him to a certain degree because I was living with my parents even then, till I was 25 or 26. So he told me, my father say, if you're going to be in America, you should just study something practical. You don't know what you want. And then I'm like,
sounds like a typical father.
So, I studied many different subjects, but marketing seems like, okay, if I can market myself in the world in a way that show myself, that this could be good. So I study marketing, but along with kinesiology and modern dance and communication, social worker, I study all broad subjects. Mm-hmm. So it took me 7 years to finish bachelor degree because I was wishy-washy.
But at the same time, sounds like you gave yourself an education that supported a lot of different areas that you had been following in a more intuitive way in your life and kind of started to bring all of these together.
Yes, it gave me
even though, it sounds like you didn't have a specific idea of what you were going to do yet, you were following certain specific intuitions, things that had caught your attention, things that excited your imagination, your passion, and you had allowed yourself to follow that. And you also honored your father and got the academic education that kind of helped you weave that together. So when we come back, I want to continue the story and see where that takes us. As you're listening, I know that you're listening to A Matter of the Mind Radio, and we are local broadcast on Talk 1260 KTRC, and we're streaming on SantaFe.com. We are back on A Matter of the Mind. I'm Mark Perry. I'm here with Tess Young, who is a holistic personal trainer, interpretive dancer, an actress, and an explorer of a very interesting life path, it sounds like. If you'd like to join the conversation at any point here at KTRC, the phone number here is 505-474-8255. You're welcome to call in with any questions or comments you want to add to the conversation. So when we left off, you were getting into bodybuilding and riding bikes and running and studying marketing and a number of classes. So with both this area of your life experience and the education you got, where did that take you?
You know, I started thinking about, wow, I can create my life.
Say that again.
For the first time, when I moved out of the house, didn't get married like my sisters. They both married Korean men. Mm-hmm. They went traditional route.
Mm-hmm. Traditional path.
Yes. Yeah. Married a Korean man, have children, have their entrepreneur, small business owner. Mm-hmm. And that was the aspiration that my father had for me. Because mm-hmm. he even told me that you could easily marry business owner. Why aren't you doing that? So, I mean, to me, that was my worst nightmare. But I didn't tell him that. So I had to move out against my mom and my father's wish. And I was almost 26. And they were crying. And, you know, it was a big deal in the family that I did not get married. And I'm living alone, single woman. That's how traditional my family is. So when I moved out, I had opportunity to really, I think I had this way of always searching inside, something deeper, something meaningful. I remember that started it when I was 7 or 8, I started questioning. So that seed was always inside of me, but it didn't really had a fertile soil to sprout because my father always gave so many rules and dictating my whole life. So first time when I moved out, you know, I got to really, like, experience and explore life. And then I sat, I'd never forget, I'm sitting in this room. I was renting this one room from this townhouse. And owner of the house was almost always gone. So I was home alone a lot. And then I felt this sense of, oh, wow, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I don't have a curfew. And then I started reading these New Age books. I went to the bookstore. Yeah. I remember reading Conversation with God by Neil Walsh. And he talks about everything that happened. You know, in life, there's not a negative thing. It all has a meaning. And that gave me freedom. And they gave me liberation. I start thinking, wow. So from my Korean name is Hae Young Kim. And then I thought, wow, I can actually create my own life. I can have a new name. I can live my own way. And then I start searching for new me that I felt inside of me all along, but I couldn't express. So I went just full charge on, got serious in the bodybuilding. I started taking gymnastic class. I started taking Afro-Brazilian class. I started hiking in the mountain. I start reading all the books that I can read to give me idea about different kind of a life. than what my country told me, what Confucius told me. So I delve into yoga class, and they taught me that I have God within me. And then, you know, I was already going to Buddhist temple called Buryangsa in Palolo Valley. It's Mahayana Buddhism. So with that, along with the yogic teaching philosophy, with several other books, the Krishnamurti, Osho's teaching, Paramahansa Yogananda, Aung San Suu Kyi, Nelson Mandela, I start really delve into these different kind of people. And then I, for the first time, you know what? I and me, it's okay to be different. Because I've been criticized all my life being different. Mm. And I try so hard to fit in to Korean culture, Korean community, Korean family. And I realized, and there was a lot of sadness that came with it.
Yeah.
Because I was ostracized from Korean community, Korean, my family, because I pursued something different. Now, not anymore. They all love me and they accept me. I'm 41 years old. So it's been a while. So finally, you know, when I when I turned 32 and 33, my father say, "You are different. I'm sorry." He said it to me personally. But, you know, so they got me into, to answer your question, they launched me into really exploring, okay, if I were to recreate myself, who do I want to be? Or who am I really? I still question myself every day.
So you came into active bodybuilding, fitness training. Was that kind of your first focused area of working professionally?
Yes, yes.
And how did dance fit in with that? Was that something that wove in with that, or did that come later in a more prominent way?
Well, I had a love of dance since I was 6, 7 years old. Uh-huh. You know, our family was very struggling to just have a rice on the table. So I could never ask my mom for additional lessons or anything like that.
Sure.
But, you know, I was always moving around and moving my body. And I was able to choreograph a lot of dance when I was elementary school, doing cheerleading, choreograph like 15 different songs and without any kind of a formal education. Dance training.
Yeah.
And then when I went to high school, in our school, we had some dance training, Korean dance training. So I did some Korean dance training, junior high school and high school. Kind of like in Hawaii, you learn hula.
Sure.
Everyone learned hula.
Sure.
In Korea, you learn a little bit of taekwondo.
Okay.
And then gungmin chejo is sort of like that, like a tai chi.
Okay.
We do that every morning.
Uh-huh.
And then Korean dance. So I studied that. And then when I came to America, I studied modern dance. I took jazz class. You know, even though I didn't have a lot of money, I had little money to pay for class.
Mm-hmm.
My, you know, extra save it, you know. So I take bus and I save penny and then I go to classes, dance classes. So I've been studying dance all along. But when I was doing bodybuilding, I really had to learn choreography of movement because I had to demonstrate 2 minutes of aerobic sort of dance routine.
Oh, as part of competition.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. It wasn't like a hardcore bodybuilding. It was more natural bodybuilding with dance, poise. You have to be able to talk about, you know, many issues. They ask you questions. It's sort of like a fitness beauty pageant. Think of it that way.
Oh, interesting.
With a dance capability.
Uh-huh.
So I started taking jazz, ballet, Afro-Brazilian dance, Hawaiian dance, gymnastic 3 times a week. So I kind of had to do everything in order to compete on stage.
Got it.
Yeah, that's how it came about.
So tell me about how did the Orphans Project come into the picture?
Okay, that is an interesting story. So I was competing in fitness competition from 27 years old till 33. I intensely focused on competition, and I had my own TV show called Fit for Life with Taesyeon. And I had an agent in Korea. I worked in Korea, published a book, and I was in media teaching, talking about health, you know.
So you became a bit of a celebrity.
I wouldn't say like big celebrity, but in my own way, I made my contribution in terms of like building body. I was really proponent of empowered women because I was disempowered growing up. No one told me that I can be as big as I want to be. No one, everyone said that you cannot, you should follow this, you cannot. So because of that, it's sort of like it was my message to know you can. You can be empowered. Everyone can be empowered in their own right. So I was giving this message through bodybuilding, fit body, and it speaks for itself because you do seem, you kind of show that in your body. So how the orphan came about. So when I finished semi-retire with my bodybuilding at 33, and I had my personal training business all along. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, I said, you know, I've done enough of this. I want to do something else. So I was going to move to the mainland. So, and then I want to go to the bigger stage. Mm-hmm. Maybe now I can really go jump into the stage, do acting, which was my true passion. And then I was really into Osho, Rajneesh.
Yes.
I was studying Osho heavily then with Krishnamurti. I was hiking in the morning, swimming in the water. I get up 4:30 in the morning. My routine was go to mountain and then go ocean and I go to work. And then I really got inspired, you know. And then I said, you know, I'm going to go to ashram. I do theater now. I've done enough of body. There's nowhere to go because I won all the competitions in Hawaii. There was many shows and I had nothing to compete in Hawaii. And I went to the mainland. And all these mainland competitors were so big and so muscular. And I really didn't see myself in like that. And that was my goal. And then I realized I have to do something else. So when I closed my practice, was going to go to Osho Ashram or something, do theater, something else, I met a man who's my husband now, Michael Honeck. And he wanted to, you know, it wasn't in my plan, really. I didn't have a plan to meet a man. I had a plan to go to Osho Ashram and to be a theater actor. Finally, I can be an actor, actress, go to California, to the mainland from little Hawaiian local girl. Now, I'm ready to go to the mainland.
Okay, so I met a man, ready to go to the mainland, and somewhere out of this, there's an orphans project coming. So when we come back, we're going to find out how that happened. You're listening to A Matter of the Mind. We're streaming on SantaFe.com. We are back on A Matter of the Mind. I'm Mark Perry. I'm here with Tess Yong, and we're about to find out how meeting a man and coming to the mainland somehow leads to the Orphans of the World project. And this segment, you might just tune in to orphansoftheworld.com. Check that out. That'll give you some more information on what we're talking about now.
Yeah, so there's a direct relationship of meeting my husband. His name is Michael Honeck. He started taking me to Southeast Asia. I have never traveled to Southeast Asia before, but he has traveled there for 35 years. And Laos, Thailand, Bhutan, Burma, Nepal, Tibetan refugee town, Upper Mustang is north central part of Nepal, bordering China on Tibetan plateau. Spent quite a bit time there. And I've seen so many children that are suffering, sleeping glue on the streets, begging for money, crippled. And then I start to feel a lot of pain in my chest. And then I realize, wow, that was me when I was young. I was that poor. I never realized it, but my mother was sometime crying because we didn't have enough money to buy rice. You know, she had a lot people to feed. And I felt like orphan growing up because my mother worked so much. She was never home. And my father was hardly around. He has some issues and kind of serious issue with his mind. So he was sort of checked out. I was raised by my grandmother, but she was hardly around. So I kind of grew up in a street with kids. And I got a lot of kids made fun of me. I got made fun of. And I was looking down upon by other people because I was that poor child's family girl. That, oh, you shouldn't hang out with her because she's dirty or she's from poor family. So maybe it was a reflection of me that I saw in these children. And then I start to feel just depressed and deep sadness, even though my life is, you know, pretty good that time.
Yeah.
And I just felt, wow, I was that orphan. And then if I really retrieve the memory, people used to say to me, oh, without your mom, you'd be in orphanage. You're very lucky your mom is around. People used to tell me that. Mm. So I used to think, oh, why would I go to orphanage? Orphanage. So I heard that word many, many times that I would have left in orphanage.
Yeah.
If it was my mother. And then I'm thinking, but I never see my mom because she was working to provide for four daughters. She was feeding four daughters, my grandmother and my father. She took care of everyone, pretty much. Yeah, so, you know, I thought, yeah, orphan. I could have been an orphan. And then instead of being sad, what can I do? I start having this feeling. And then my husband had a friend named Alan Clement who published a book, The Voice of Hope, interviewing Aung San Suu Kyi. He interviewed her right after she released from house arrest in Burma. She was house arrest 17 years out of 28 years. And he helped us to meet Aung San Suu Kyi in 2010 in her residence in University Avenue. She was released from another house detention 5 months ago. So when I met her, she is there saving 50 million of her people. And then here I am, you know, okay, what can I do now? I've been living for myself, building my body, building my life, recreating my life. Now, what can I do to make a difference? And then I said, you know what? Maybe I can save one child. Maybe I can sponsor two children. It started that way. And then I realized, maybe a little bit more, maybe 10 kids. Mm. Maybe my friend can join me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, this year, I want to do a production called Sacred Sensuous. If you look up dictionary, sensuous means of the body. It's different from sensual. Yes. Sensuous is of the body. Sacred sensuous is sacred body. Each child is a sacred body we're born with. So to help to support this each child, if I can be an instrument to bring more people in, my friends or community, to do it together, maybe that's what I can give. And then I have a passion for sacred sensual dancing and music. But to me, entertainment should enlighten the heart, awaken the mind, bring awareness of who is suffering. The basic tenets of Buddhism is we are connected to everything that is suffering. And ignorance is the biggest sin in Buddhist tenet. And moment-to-moment awareness that Aung San Suu Kyi talks about when we had a tea with my husband. And I said, okay, if we are aware moment to moment, there are about 143 to 210 million of orphans. The 2% of populations are orphans. And 14 million of children are reaching age 16. They have to go out of the orphanage. No place to go. No family to go to. 100 million of children are on the streets begging for food and dying malnourished. Are we aware of that?
Mm.
So I wanted to give them message through sacred sensuous dancer and music. My husband brought me to South Africa, not South Africa, South Asia, and then show all these places. And then he inspired me to do work, help others. And then I saw witness. So we're doing this performance November 10 at the Scottish Theater, Sacred Sensuous. 7:30, I hope you can all join, learn about what is going on. with orphans in the world.
And so this is a benefit to raise money for the Orphans of the World organization.
Yes. Well, organization is not focused. The children is the focus. 100% proceeds goes to orphan children who became orphan because due to military force against the family. And Nepalese children and Tibetan refugee children, about 200 children were helping in Tibetan refugee towns. And in addition to that, northern Mexican young women at risk with a Suez at Dense Space, also giving them some of the proceeds to them.
Okay, so if people want to follow up and contact you or get more information about the performance, what's the best contact information for them to have?
Well, there are several websites, sacredsensuous.com or orphansoftheworld.com or tessyong.com.
Okay. So there you are. At sacredsensuous.com, orphansoftheworld.com, tessyong.com.
Yeah, and
if you forget all that, you can just contact me. I'm a matteroftheMind.com, or you can call me in Santa Fe at 505-920-6149. For this or for any other way I can serve you as well. And I really encourage you to follow up. This looks like a particularly exciting and important event for us all to be a part of, because it is easy to lose track of that sense that, you know, all the suffering that's out there in the world, you know, if we really are all one, which is my experience as well, then anywhere there's suffering is suffering that we are a part of. And we can do something about it, or we can pretend that we're ignoring it, and it goes on just the same.
Yeah, so I have a slideshow that I document from 2008 to 2011. When you come to the event, we have a free food sponsored by Whole Foods and all windmill dairy at Cloud Cliffs. So free hors d'oeuvre and slideshow of my documentation, silent auction, and you get to see beautiful 50 sacred sensual dancers and musicians of New Mexico.
Fantastic. And so as you're moving through this week, hold that and keep in mind the possibility that you can be doing what you love, fulfilling your personal path in a way that serves the world in a beautiful way. And what if that's simply a matter of the mind? Blessings.